Blog Talk Radio.
Zeke, the black race.
Hey, brother, the water, we off? Just a second. I don't know what happened to us. That's not brother water. Hey, everybody waiting on brother DeWater to call back in. Hey, brother DeWater, yo.
Brother Drew.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm on, but Cole can't get in. The lines are full.
Oh, okay. Let me call him real quick and put him on the freeway with us.
Okay,
now I don't see him neither. I seen the lines filled up early today.
Yeah,
I don't see neither one of them.
He probably can't get in either.
Oh, I see. Yeah, they filled up real fast today, Brother DeWater. I don't know what to do. So, what you think?
You got Brother Cole's number?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I do. Maybe you can call Brother Maher and put him on the line, and I call Brother Cole.
Okay. See, I don't know how to do that. You got
Maher's
number? Okay. Could you know how to do that? So call him, and I'll start talking.
Okay then. Okay, go ahead. All right.
Yeah. The subject we're talking about is when we were studying with Cole, I found out that Cole had us to study in a certain way, in a chronological order, using the 5W and the 1H with ethnology, the origin of the word. This is how we come in contact. I don't know of any group that studied like Kahane had us studying. And when we first met, we was looking for a motto, so we asked certain people in the class motto, and the best motto that we came up with was Sister Shahada. She brought us a plaque. I still have the plaque, and she said, "Well, this would be a good motto," and we said, "Well, Tosa, yet that's the motto." And our motto was there. Without information, documentation means all conversation.
That's we all brought the water.
Okay, you on call?
Now, I think Maher, you on?
I'm on. Can everybody hear me? I'm on.
Yeah. Maybe I don't know if Maher can you three way call in? He can't get in either.
Hold on, okay? Hold on. I think I can. Give me a sec. Wow,
okay.
The lines filled up. They knew that. I told Dua told me. I said they're going to get punished. That's all. So hold on. That's before the show started.
So,
he's talking about it. He said what the topic is going to be. I said, that's it. They're getting punished.
Yeah, and see, Cohane, he put the rest of the motto, Sister Shahada about. There's no transformation without information. Documentation beats all conversation. And Cole added on to no attack, just facts. And so when we started studying, we found out that the Christian preachers couldn't read because see, reading is comprehension. And so when we went into reading and studying the Bible, we wanted to know the truth. So the only way you can find the truth is study. I, I done read this Bible over 1,200 times. When I left home in 1963, Big Mama, both my grandmothers, had me to read the Bible in its entirety every year. And so I have read the Bible over 1,200 times. And when you read, reading is comprehension. The Bible, we found out, is a story. The story is told by the Yehudas, who you call the Jews. And in this language, they would be named Jews, but in their language, they would be called Yehuda. Now, we found out that Hinduism came at 4000 B.C. That's the first time religion came into existence. It came into existence when the Aryans conquered the divinity tribe in the Eastern Hemisphere, which is India. That's where we ended. We are not Indians over here in the Western Hemisphere like we got called. Excuse me. At 2500 B.C., Yehudaism came into existence. The reason Yehudaism came into existence is because so many of the Yehudas was turning over to Hinduism. Hinduism had conquered the land. The Hindus have 330,000 different gods, if you study Hindu. This story that we gonna tell, it was written in the Bible, this King James 1881 Bible that Christians use for their book, was called a forbidden Bible for 350 years. So when we started studying it, we found out that for 350 years that this book was called the Forbidden Bible. So we wanted to find out why it was called the Forbidden Bible. Is because you as a layman cannot read this Bible. You don't know anything about this, but you have a doctor's degree in theology and you still don't know anything about the Bible because you can't read. If you got a summa cum laude, magna cum laude, and cum laude, you couldn't read. And we're going to prove that today that you couldn't read because we're going to go exactly what's written in this book and what is not taught to you in the Christian church under the name of theology. So we're going to analyze the man that gave you Christianity. And his name is Apollonius of Tyana. In this language, you call him Paul. You can go to Walmart and buy a book called Apollonius of Tyana. I encourage everybody to go read that history book of who Apollonius is, of Tyana. So the first thing that when I was studying with Cole, I was analyzing what Paul said. First, let's start off by quoting Paul's own words from the book of Romans 3:7. According to the letters that was written by Paul in chapter 3 and verse 7, Paul made no attempt to hide the misleading doctrine he taught.
Drew, I just text you. Brother Drew, I just text you Cole's landline number because you called me, and then when I called him, I can't conference him in unless I call both of you. You know what I mean? So since you did the calling, Brother Drew, you can call him, and you should be able to conference him in.
Okay. Well, you know, I already got two lines conference. I don't know how many they give you.
Oh, you got two lines conference in already.
Yeah, that's what I said. I think I tried another one, but I don't know. I tried.
Okay. Yeah, because so I just text you he said his landline number. I sent it to you like a few seconds ago. So,
okay, then. I'll try it.
Okay.
I'll try it.
Unless if that doesn't work, let me know when you come back on if it didn't work, because then what I'll have to do is call him and call you, okay, which means you'll answer. And I can conference you two in, but it can't be you doing the calling necessarily like that because the phones don't work that way necessarily.
Okay.
Okay? So I'll let you try it first, and if it doesn't work, let me know. Then I'll have to hang up with you, call you, and then call him.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
All right. So the book of Romans at 3 and 7, according to the letter that Paul had written, he didn't hide that the doctrine that he taught was a lie. He told you in 1 Timothy chapter 2, he said, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. The present day Christianity, they would tell you that they believe in the Pauline teaching. So we're going to analyze this Pauline teaching by going in the Bible, reading this comprehension. Many people read the Bible, but they don't comprehend or interpret what they are reading, although it may be right in plain English. People are living and dying by the book of Paul, who admitted that he lied to gain his followers. For instance, in verse 5 and 6 of Romans chapter 3, Paul states, but if our unrighteous command the righteousness of God, what shall we say? If God unrighteous, he takes vengeance, I speak a man. And in Romans 3 and 6, he stated, God forbid, for their house shall God judge his word. Paul made it clear that he confused about how to bring people to the truth of God. He even goes to question God in verses 5 by the mere statement, I speak as a man. Paul admits his immortality by propagating lies. Paul even justified in Romans 3 and 4 that he said, and I quote, what advantage then has the Jews, or what profit is there in of circumcision? What does the Bible say about a liar? Well, the truth is not found in a lie, as it is stated in 1 John 2 and 4 and 6. Now,
right.
This part, you in?
I'm listening, Brother Dua. I'm listening to you. You're absolutely right. You asked the question, what does the Bible say about a liar? You know, and it's not, it doesn't say anything good about them. They don't have a good end.
But, well, the ninth commandment and the tenth commandment is, thou shalt not lie. You know, so he broke the ninth commandment.
Yeah.
So.
Right. If thou shalt not bear false witness, he's the false witness. He never met, quote unquote, this guy that they're calling Jesus. He never met him. And he tells you, he lets you know he didn't meet him ever. No face-to-face conversations, none of it. And it's like, and then there, his gospel is taken, and he said, let anybody be accursed who doesn't even follow the gospel that he's bringing. And then you got the groups who's supposed to have known, quote-unquote, Jesus, right? Their form of baptism or what they were doing is different than his. And that's also laid out in the book of Acts. So all these things are laid out in the book of Acts for you. So, listen, right. I'm going to hop off real quick while you're continuing, because I've got to now call Cole and then call back Brother Drew. So that's what I got to do, because he can't call him. So I can do it. So we'd be right back in about less than a minute.
And so after was studying with Cole, after we had established the fact that Paul is a liar and that he had said this to himself. Now, what is very interesting is that the first commandment that, according to the Bible, that Jesus gave his disciples was, do not. This is in Matthew 10, 5 and 6. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the ways of the Gentile, into any city of the Samaritan, enter ye not. but go run it to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And when Jesus Christ also told them to make it clear to a woman of Cana who was seeking to be healed that I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, Paul lied when he said that he fell off a donkey and he had a dream and Jesus told him to the Gentiles. That's a lie. See, the only way you can get a person to believe a lie, you mix truth with lie. Now, exactly from whom is Paul receiving these visions? It definitely couldn't have been Jesus of Nazareth, because the Jesus of Nazareth told the chosen disciples who he chose in Matthew 14:18-21 and Luke 6:12-16 not to go in the ways of the Gentiles. You will find in Acts 13:4-6 that Paul and Barnabas, that's 19 BC, 62 AD, who was with him, knew the teaching of Jesus the Nazarene versus Jesus the Christ. Acts 13:4-6 say, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary for the word of God to first have been spoken to you, but seeing from me and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, we turn to the Gentiles. The Gentiles is white people. That's Magog, Gog, Tubal. That's Japheth's children. That's the history of the northern hemisphere. Now, according to Acts 13:17, they claim that since the Judeans would not accept their teaching, that the Lord commanded him, I have set there to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldn't be for salvation until the end of the world. If Paul did in fact have these versions, they didn't come from Jesus the Nazarene, because in the Bible you have three Jesuses. You have Jesus the Nazarene. That's the first one. He had a teaching. Then you had Bar Jesus, which was the son of Jesus. This name, Bar Jesus, you find that in the book of Acts. And then 275 years later, you have the teaching of Jesus the Christ, which the present-day churches of Christianity is up under this teaching of what Jesus, of Jesus the Christ. Now, how we gonna look at this is that Jesus the Naz, we're gonna call him what Doc Ben called him, the Naz. When we stay with Doc Ben, we call him the Naz. If Paul was going to teach the Gentile, he should have been converting them to the teaching of the laws of the person who claimed he received all this vision from in the first place. That's what makes us know that Paul made up all of this lie, what rules the world right now in Christianity. The Naz says, keep the Shabbat. Matthew 2:20 say, circumcise male children, and 21. Paul said, circumcision is not necessary, Romans 2:26. All you need is circumcision of the heart, Romans 2:29. That is going against what the Naz said in John 7:22-23, the word anti means to go against. So antichrist means to go against anything that the Naz taught. That's what the antichrist means. Yes, sir.
No, you still.
You there, Brother Drew?
Yeah, we're still trying to figure it out. Go ahead, Brother DeWalt. Keep talking. We'll figure it out.
Okay. Now, Jesus the Nazarene, unless you are baptized, you shall not see the kingdom of God. John 3:3-5. Paul said, you are saved by accepting Jesus Christ, Romans 10:9-10. The law of Moses in the 2 Chronicles 7:13-16, it says that the Lord dwells in chosen temples, a law through Moses. Paul said in Acts 7:48, the Most High does not dwell in temples. God dwells in life. In 1 Timothy 6:16 says Paul, but the book of 1 Kings, who was here before the New Testament, 8:12, the Lord says he dwells in thick darkness. Paul said, anger is approved by him in Ephesians 4:26. The laws of God, anger is disapproved in Ecclesiastes 7:9, as well as in Proverbs 22:4. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:24, Paul condemned Jesus of Nazareth for having long hair. The laws of Moses says no razors should come upon the head in Numbers 6:5 and Judges 13:5. Paul said that the law of Moses did not apply to his teaching. That's the reason you hear the Christians, first thing they holler, or that's the Old Testament. That's the law. Well, we saying exactly, I ain't a Christian, I ain't neither one of them. I'm just analyzing what Christianity said, how it got the masses of people. I don't believe in no religion. Religion is man-made. The law of Moses says it is law that every mankind be circumcised in Genesis 17:10. Paul said, you will gain nothing if you are circumcised in Galatians 5:2. The laws of Moses. You in?
I'm in. I guess Cole should be coming in shortly.
I'm already waiting.
All right. Brother Drew, we're here.
We have loaded, brother. Locked and loaded.
Yeah. All right. They try to keep us out. So you know, Cole, we have to put the extra hurt on.
I told y'all to call in at least 15 minutes to the hour. You can't wait to 10 minutes on some subject because I noticed.
Yeah, but
it's a hot subject.
DeWa, these people were smart. They were already calling in early. There's no point against them.
I called in at 15 minutes till. That's how I got it. And see.
Let's make it happen.
Yeah, and see, I'm talking what you taught me.
All right now.
What you told me to go research, and I went and researched it. You gave me assignments. Remember, you gave me assignments. You said you go do this and do that. And so I went and do this. So I'm sharing what we found about Paul and the Pauline doctrine up under the Apostle Creed, Nicene Creed, and the Athanasian Creed is what the churches believe in.
That's right.
The Apostle Creed is what the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Catholic, and the Episcopalians believe in. The Nicene Creed teaching of the Baptists. And if you're not an idiot, you can clearly see that the teaching is, because see, the Apostle Creed tell you that you don't have to be baptized, you be sprinkled.
Mm-hmm.
So the Nicene Creed disagreed with that. So
we have to see
what the original teaching was according to what who the Naz is. And I use the Naz because you know that's what Doc Ben called him, the Naz. He called him the Naz. He told us about that. But see, we have to go and analyze everything. The law of Moses says, what the Naz believed in, remember the Shabbat and keep it holy in Exodus 20 and 8. Paul says, don't judge a man who does not keep the Shabbat in Romans 14 and 5 and Colossians 2 and 16. Paul even went against the baptism, what the Naz himself was given by John the Baptist in 1 Corinthians 1, 14 and 17. Here Paul is going against the Naz, and Paul makes a false statement by saying, for Christ sent me not to baptize, Christ did not send Paul. The teaching of Christ is the teaching of Krishna, which is Hinduism. See, you have to understand that the Taoists, you have Jesus the Naz, you have Jesus the Christ. But we going to put the Nazarene's teaching versus that of what Paul teaching, which the present day church is up on there.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, and when Paul claimed in Acts 28 that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles and they will hear it, is a lie. How is it that Paul can say that salvation was sent to the Gentiles when the Naz completely told you not to even teach the Gentile, not his teaching? See, so you can see where Paul was trying to, he hoodwinked and caveman-toed the people at that time period, and they are still hoodwinked and caveman-toed.
Let me interject something here, if I may, Brother Dewar.
Go ahead on, talk.
What people don't realize, Paul's whole aim was to become the head of a movement, and he went in there and offset everything that was taught by the Nazarenes. See, the crisscross was at the cross. When Paul said, "I raised Christ, I raised Jesus from the dead by my gospel," that is not the same one. His gospel was not that. So his total thing was totally against. There's two different gospels: the gospel of circumcision and the gospel of the uncircumcised. That's in the book. People think it's one, but it's two different gospels. What Peter taught and what Paul taught were two different gospels. Paul, they said that if you were circumcised, Christ promised you nothing. Why? Because you were endeavored to obey the law. Hey, you can't serve two masters. A lot of folks don't realize that. Most churches today, we've always said, teaches a Pauline form of teaching. Christ is not a deity. That's a title. But most folks want to make a deity out of it. Christ is only a title, but they fooled you thinking that it was a deity, and you believe that, and by doing so, you are now out of step with reality of that of your salvation. If you are circumcised, Paul said, Christ profits you nothing.
And can I edify you on something dealing with his name, Cole? Because he started out as Shaul, and he ended up being Paul. Okay,
right.
So here's etymology. The word Shaul, like King Saul in the Old Testament, that's the same word, right? It means past tense, he asked a question. It's a regular verb. He asked a question. And look at the chapter in which he gets a new name, 13.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, witching hour. Okay, Then he became Paul. Well, if you're studying the quote-unquote Hebrew language, the verb stem system, conjugate, for the verbs is called Paal. That's what it's called. That's his name. So it means action. So he went from he asked a question to he took action. You see how they lay it in on the language like that? Now, mind you, it is connected with all of the other histories, Cole, that you taught us, okay? Because you've got two and three things going at the same time. Now, Cole, you mentioned about the circumcision. You also mentioned that that the Jews have an everlasting salvation. And you also, as you remember, Cole, from what you had covered in the class and teaching, I've got the opportunity many times to read it with my own eyes. He says that if you don't believe in Christ was dead and is risen, what you said, like you said, circumcision, it profits you not, okay? So Christ profits you not, and it is another one that you – I'm trying to remember what the third one is because it's real key here. It's like, why are you messing with all of this stuff if you are outside of the description and classification that Paul set this up for? The people he intended to get this doesn't apply to people like you and I. That's my point. That's the point I wanted to make.
Well, you remember in Paul's writing, he told him in Corinthians 12 and 16?
Right.
That with being crafty, I caught you with guile?
Right.
Yes.
So you go to
right.
Corinthians.
And guile chapter, means to deceive.
Yeah. Go to chapter 1 Corinthians on the radio. Look at chapter 12, verse 16. I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 16. I know you got it there, man. Pull it up and let
hold
these
on.
People because
I'm reaching for it.
Because see, the man's eye of his own mouth, you can only go by what the man is saying out of his book. Being crafty, caught you with guile. He was talking to the Corinthians. It's in 1 Corinthians, I think it was 12 and 16, I believe it is.
Yeah, give me a second. I'm in 1 Corinthians right now.
Let the book talk. Because folks don't believe. Let your book talk to you.
Okay, hold on a minute. 1 Corinthians, you thought it's in chapter 12.
Verse 16.
Okay, hold on.
It says.
All right, I don't.
Maybe
okay,
two,
so
maybe, but it's 12 and 16.
I'm
going
to go to 2. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I don't. It's not in 1.
1 Corinthians chapter. Let's try to read this chapter 12, verse 16. Then it's in one of the two.
Yeah, go to even go to 2:16.
It's going to be Corinthians.
Okay, hold on. I'll tell you in a second. 2:12.
Verse 16.
Yes. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 12,
yeah.
Verse 16. Let me read what it says. It punches right in the gut. It says, be it so,
mm-hmm.
I did not burden you. Nonetheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Mm-hmm.
Crafty means witty and smart, and guile means
right.
deceit.
He said, I caught you with guile. That's right. Crafty is covert. That's some that's being covert. It's
so
not out in the open.
So if you're following Paulinian teaching, you've already been trapped. You've been tricked. You've been hoodwinked, cabled, hijacked.
And guile means to deceive. Exactly.
Yeah.
Beguile means to thoroughly deceive.
Yeah.
In case,
so,
just for the listening audience.
Yeah. So what you're saying to us, unfortunately, the crisscross was at the cross. Once he got past that, and Paul was supposed to be converted from Saul to Paul on Damascus Road, his philosophy and theology, his philosophy was the purpose was to rule and have a following. Remember, he had no followers. He wanted to be
right.
He wanted to be like the historical Jesus.
Now,
on Damascus Road, he claimed, but that wasn't what he saw. Yet he came back
right,
and the Bible says, being crafty in guile. Being crafty, I caught
right,
you
now,
down.
Now let's talk about his biblical etymology. Now, you know, Cole, you taught us about this guy's ethnicity. You actually told us about what he was before. Now, let's talk about in the Bible is going to lead you to say, is going to lead you to understand he's not an Israelite.
No.
One, he's a Roman citizen. What's the question that was asked of him of that Roman centurion in Acts towards the end of chapter 21? He says, aren't you that Egyptian who led them in the rebellion some time ago? And he said, no, I am Paul of Tarsus.
Mm-hmm.
Who is Tarsus the son of? No, this ain't the Roman one. This is another son. This is Moab. Moab has a son named Ed and Tarsus. Paul's a Moabite. And if you're talking to the other Moabite brothers, great like me, I'm a great deal more, you talk to us and we look and say, oh, hold up, no, what did he say? What's written? And it says, he's of Tarsus. Right. He's telling you he's a descendant of Moab, who is the brother of Ammon. Both of them are the sons of Lot. You see what's going on here, Cole?
Uh-huh.
If you use what's written, we're talking about what's written. We discussed who and what this guy could have been. You know, we've included him with the works of Josephus and said, well, that's really Josephus. No, none of that subject is up for question or debate because we see all of the connections anyway. But for the people going into the church door listening, he says, well, I'm the tribe of Benjamin. No, you're not of the tribe of Benjamin. You just told us what you were, according to what's written on paper here inside of this New Testament. You're Moabite. And so what does Deuteronomy say about the Moabites? Because of their gentry, they shall never stand in the holy sanctuary.
Okay.
Now, you see some kind of serious, sick, twisted stuff somebody's got going on now? They've got a bloodline that's outcast, that is standing in the place talking about, from his gospel, he raised Christ from the dead.
Yeah.
Who the heck is this guy? A nobody who has no followers, he raises Christ from the dead? I thought it was the other way around. I thought Christ raised Lazarus from the dead.
You see what I'm saying?
We're running into some serious contradictory issues here. So you got somebody who was a nobody raising somebody who's supposed to be, according to theology, far greater than himself from the dead.
Now, I'm doing it off the top of my head, so just bear along with me. I ain't got my book in front of me. Romans 3, verse, I think it's Romans 3 and 7.
Okay, I'm looking for it now. Give me a second. Here we go. I'm in Romans 3 and 7?
Yeah.
Oh, somewhere around there? Hold on.
Yeah, around there.
Here we go. The one about truth?
Yeah, right.
Okay, Romans 3 and 7. It says, for if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie. Oh, my gosh. It says, through my lie unto his glory, yet am I also judged as a sinner. Woo!
Come on, people. This is Paul talking.
Middle institutions today have got the strongest stuff, Thorazine and all that. Listen, Thorazine can't help you with this.
Okay.
People who have accepted this are in an incurable situation here. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't care what you believe, what do you know?
That's the quest, exactly. And right now, too many people are caught up in their feelings and so quote-unquote emotions, which, you know, this level of feelings and emotions that they use to try to defend what is knowable is why they're now seen as Christian, which is what we covered a few weeks ago. What's a Christian? A Christian is a Cretan. Both those words are the same root word. Somebody suffering from mental retardation, illness. So, in other words, we got people running around here in mass suffering from personality disorder. Whatever letter you want to put in front of the PD, that's up to you. And it makes no sense because everything else that they talk about is tainted. Everything.
7.8 billion, according to the record. If you look at the largest movement, it's a Christian movement, 7.8 billion. That's a lot
of people. That's a lot of folks, and they know exactly what they have done by slamming this stuff down. You know, I always used to use my favorite phrase. That's a lot of unlabeled Kool-Aid and a huge plate of cross-eyed lamb. Seriously. Okay?
Book. Didn't write it, that's your book.
Also, Cole, you taught us that Paul said you don't have to have the law. All you need is just faith. Also, in Romans 6 and 14, Paul says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." He openly says that ye are not under the law, and he does not, his teaching, believe in the law that was
That's it.
And see, in Galatians 3:22-24, Paul said, goes to say that these teachings were strictly his.
Okay.
Paul also taught that the Gentiles was a law unto their own selves anyway.
Yeah.
So, here's a kicker for me. In the letter to the Hebrews, okay, they got a part in there where they're talking about they attack Moses. They slap in the back of his face with a sledgehammer by saying, howbeit that a whole nother priest has arisen, one that Moses never even prophesied about or talked about, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And then they tell you, using legal vernacular, that they found of necessity. Of necessity is a legal term. So together, they voted together of legal necessity to the changing of the law. They voted and found the Torah to be guilty. They attacked Moses, and he's the culprit. So Moses definitely, in the letters to the Hebrew, gets attacked.
Mm-hmm.
And then people, and they're out there still trying to think they're converting somebody to this way. I think with the climate and how things are going in the in the not too distant future, we're going to force them to stay on the other side of the fence because they can't talk to us. They're not qualified.
And
a lot of the young guys are saying it this way, because the New Testament, for a lot of the young guys, is what's chased them into the Old Testament, Cole. This is from the guys I talk to. It's not nobody sitting down preaching hate teachings to them. A stirring is occurring within them where they're questioning things. They're like Saul. He asked the question. So while they're asking these questions, some of the young ladies who are talking to them, they're asking them about their dieting, how many guys, boyfriends they've been with. But the dieting part, one young guy said something, and I remember his line clearly. He said, lips that touch swine won't touch mine. This is right here in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying what is going on right now. And it's like, well, what's got you to go like this? And they said, well, I've just been thinking about things. I've just been reading things or this, or I saw something, or I got tired of watching, the televangelist and realized something wasn't quite right about that. And just one day, they just, it's all kinds of voices going on. And you got some folks here from the African continent, Cole, too, just from the line of work that I'm involved in. I bump into them, and we have little conversations here and there, started out with a little history. And now they're asking questions, too, because they came from the continent as Christians. So now some of them are asking questions. And not because they're necessarily talking to us. So there is a spiritual awakening occurring, and some of the things that they're saying is along the same lines of the knowledge we already know. See, we got a head start on most people because of the fact that we're always talking about this. Yes, sir.
Another thing, Cole, you got thousands and thousands. You got 42 million people that call themselves African Americans, that's Christian, that is dying from living under grace from the law. See, if you would study your book, you would know that when we go and read about the law, the most important book of the law is Leviticus 11 chapter, which tells you of clean and unclean food. The Bible clearly tells you not to eat the swine. You eat the hog from the rooter to the chooter. And Friday you're going to be eating chitlins and pork chops and all of this shit going down your into your system. This book is very clear. Leviticus, the 11th chapter, and Deuteronomy, the 13th chapter, tell you about forbidden food. And the
what about the dog, Brother Dwight, too? What about dealing with the dog? All you Negro loving around here.
Yeah, and see, the black folks are dying like hell from eating this damn hog. Now, another thing, when we go to Leviticus, the chapter 11 and the 27th verse, and whosoever goes upon his alls among all mammals of beasts that go on all fours, those are unclean to you. Whosoever touches that carcass, they'll be unclean until the even. Well, let me tell you niggas something. A dog and a cat got goddamn paws. And you in love with Anubias. Because you in the dog and feline, the two gods of ancient Egypt of dog and cat. You worship the damn dog.
Let me edify you, Dwar, about that pig. Brother Dwar, let me edify you real quick.
Oh, go ahead on.
Let me edify you on that pig. First of all, the pig has an original name, the swine. Its name means the animal is very foul. Now, on the medical side, not even touching the Israelites, on the medical side, the ancient Greek physicians knew that consumption of swine flesh, the animal being a foul animal, so everyone was agreeing, whether it be spiritual or medical, okay, that once you consume the flesh of that animal, you have all kinds of out-of-control sexual cravings. They point-blank said, and I have it in a book on one of the books on my shelf over here, it says that they understood the foul effects of eating swine flesh upon somebody's own flesh. They said they knew that. The Greek doctors knew that. And yet people in mind, so when you go to the book of Maccabees and you see them saying, go ahead, just eat the swine flesh, that was a form of humiliation during the Greek Hellenistic period where they needed you to serve the king. Remember, he went up in there and put the swine flesh up on the altar. That's what you call to a man when you emasculating him, okay? So you're going to make him run through the streets naked. He's uncovered. The Greeks, remember, they did all of that when they came in to assert their dominance over the male population when they, quote, unquote, went into that place. But the animal's name means to be seen as foul. It's a stinking animal. It's an animal that is known to be unclean, whether a person says they follow the Torah or not. Everyone knew about this animal in the world. That's my point.
Yeah, and when we go to Leviticus, the 12th chapter, let's look at what's wrong with this African American. It says, whosoever has no scales in the water, thou shalt be an abomination. You eat a catfish. And see, when you eat a catfish, I catch catfish. I don't eat them. I give them away. What I use is I take liver. I take liver and let it sit out in the sun. And if a fly get in my bait, the fly will die. And the catfish just love this funk in this bait.
Mm.
The stinker the bait is, the mold is. Well, when you eat this stinking ass catfish, you consuming and putting that into your body. And this is 2020. You ought to have sense enough to know that it is your dietary law. If you go into Leviticus, the 46, 11, and 46, it says this is the law of the beast and of the fowls and for every creature that moves in the water and every creature that moves on the earth. You could not break the law of the beast. Don't you become a beast in the field. That's why your ass from 1970 from when you came of African American, everybody got damn obese. Because why? You eat catfish and you eat this hog from the rooter to the shooter. Look at you in 1960. Look at you in 1950. Look at the teenagers in 1950 when we were teenagers. Now, hell, you didn't have no big ass teenager. Right now, the 2 year old is obese.
Well, you know, it's a thrill when you can pass a blessing through a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pray over and go ahead and help yourself.
See, we know that the Bible is a false, got a lot of falsehood in it, but it's got, so you have to mix the truth with false
in order
to get
stand.
The people to believe a goddamn lie. And the biggest lie that you believe is you live up under grace from the law, and especially from up under Eden. I had Dr. Nash told me he didn't care what I said. Nabal, I don't care what you say. I'm going to eat my chili on January the
1st. And where is he now?
He's sick as hell.
Uh-huh.
I'm sitting here showing you where, I just showed you where this is an abomination, and you keep eating it after. The Christians eat this shit from rooter to the shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Because you didn't study your book. And it's written in your book not to read it. But you say you let Paul tell you that you live up under grace from the law. Everything in creation is a law. Yeah, it ain't a damn thing in creation that didn't come into creation under a law.
That's right.
You came into creation up under the 20 laws in nature.
Right.
The first
and by the way, Dwight. By the way, Brother Dwyer, in Isaiah 65, chapter 65, and Isaiah chapter 66, is already saying what he's going to do to the people when he come back and he find that they're eating that animal in the mouse. And he says, and you've got forbidden sauces in your utensils. According to what's written there, this is not me and you messing with anybody, but according to what's written in that book, they're going to get their game smoked. He said he's getting rid of them. They're burning them up. He said, you out there eating, ain't going to be no discussion, according to that part in Isaiah chapter 65 and 66. You know, a lot of times people looking to hear us may say something, oh, these guys might be talking some hate talk. No, hold up. Argue with what's in black and white in the book. That's the documentation and the source of reference we're coming from. Right. And then we got the medical stuff where the doctors are already saying, you know, Hispanics are number one on the list as far as the highest population who, when they do go into ER, they usually suffer from the worms on the brain because they eat that animal any old kind of way they can get it. You know, half-cooked, medium, the ham, all of it, and then you got our people, they're suffering like you wouldn't believe. And they say once those worms start boring holes in your physical brain, you're done. It's just a matter of time before you hemorrhage out. You're done.
And getting in,
the doctors can't save you. Hmm?
And getting into your capillaries. This worm getting into your capillaries and attacks your blood.
And, you know, I hate to put it like this, though, Dua. I've seen way too many people, you know, starting in New York where I'm born and bred, I've seen way too many black people who actually look like the hogs they're eating. And that's just growing up as a youngster. They looked like it.
I don't know. If you go into the Christian church, all you see is hogs. Look at the
Well, they're already in violation, so you know if they're in violation, they just say, what the hell? But anyway, the topic was a very good topic, but people need to realize that you've been hoodwinked and you're operating on a false illusion, because what you got is not going to save you, not going to help you. Matter of fact, it already damned you into damnation. So I threw it to me because it won't fly over
here. Another thing, Cole. Paul was a reformed Jew who lived by the laws of the land controlled by the Romans. Therefore, they hoped and liked it. It could 2 Corinthians 10:16, Paul tried to use this verse to justify any form of breaking the law.
Yep.
So he found a way to keep it in the new gospel. Many people found it breaking the law, but Jesus said, that is the price. Now that it goes in the mouth, defiles a man for what comes out of the mouth. That's the biggest goddamn lie that ever been told. And you're 2020, you should know this.
Mm-hmm.
What you put inside your body is what kills you. You eat yourself to death. And that's why black folks are dying like hell. From heart trouble, type 2 diabetes, all of these are hogs. The flu is swine flu. This virus that you got now, COVID-19, hog. You eat a whole lot of hog, it's going to attack your ass. You'll see this swine flu attacking the Muslims that don't eat hog and the people that don't eat hog. Common sense will tell you that in 2020. How does
Baby.
Hog
yep.
just, go ahead on. Go ahead on,
brother. No, go ahead. That was my phone ring. I was told to wife I'll get it later. Okay. All right. I'll call him back. It's my daughter calling.
Yeah, we asked ourselves a question. How did Paul justify abolishing the law? Simple. Paul said that the law was ended with Jesus Christ dying on the cross.
Yeah, and he couldn't make up his mind whether he died on the cross or was hung from a tree.
Now they don't know which one it was. That is, now, question: did he die in Calvary or did he die in Egypt?
Well, you know, if they're talking about somebody died in Egypt, then you know that's Ptolemy, which is from the Hellenistic period, which many of this stuff got scripted for it. For it means they took. They plagiarized from another era and timeline. Remember, Cole, you covered this really well in the class. So, and what I like the way you did, and Dwab probably, he was second this with me as well. The way that you taught the class, documentation is the conversation. We didn't form opinions. We just looked at everything that we had in our possession that was written about this possible same scenario. And how they just keep repackaging it. That's what we're looking at. And that's the part that amazed me. Everybody's using this boy.
Lost in translation. That's what
Cole, you remember when we was asking for Monta, Sister Shahada brought in a big old plaque that read, "No translation without information, documentation beat all conversation."
That's right.
From Cole say, that's our motto, and then you say, you put another motto in there, you say, no attack, just
facts.
Yep.
No attack, just
and that became our motto.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
You're sure right.
Yeah, so when we go and analyze the Bible, which we have to end, we done analyze the Quran too, we don't hold up the canonical bass on the Muslims. Also, because You ain't getting the right teaching of what the ancient teaching, what it was at first. All of this is being reformed. What is the word reformed? See, You are a reformed Jewish belief that came in the 6th century with the Mesmerite Jews. See, how many sects are there in Judaism? And when did they come into existence? The 6th century Mesmerite Jews was started by Moses de Arena, who said that they should embrace Christianity, the Jews.
Right.
This is what Coach taught us. Well, he
exactly.
sent me off on a mission. He sent me off on a mission to see it. We analyzed it, and this is what we came up with, and we're sharing it with you.
Yeah, he used to give us homework assignments. Okay, brothers and sisters, the next time I see y'all, I want to know this, that, and the other. And Brother Mahir, I want you to look up the linguistics on this, since you're the language brother. And then, you know, until the next time, and we close out with the prayer, and that's that. And it's like, okay, I got some freaking homework to do. And he's already talking to me during the week. How about that?
Yes.
So that's
so
the way we were in class.
So, Cole, you can close us out, Cole, because it looks like it's almost 2 o'clock.
All right.
So you can say the credo.
Cole? Everybody, is anyone there? Did everybody leave?
I tried to do a bunny hop and turn around in the air. What a dumbass.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't do that around my house.
They're not pushing, but he just can't. I can't do anything. Don't you push money. Run away.
Bro, what the?
There was no timer up there.
Happened.
right now, Mark. Get it back there.
Bye. All right.
to grab it, but I missed it.
And then spit it out. Move! Down. What are you laughing at?
Hey, we're not in ring. We're not in ring at all.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening to me.